Hi, I'm Tim Barron, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast, brought to you by Good to Be Social. Today, our guest is Eric Press. Eric is the founding partner of the law firm advisory group PP&C Consulting. And before that, he was editor-in-chief for 16 years at The American Lawyer, and before that, writer and editor at Newsweek. I've gotten to know Eric over the past year through the relationship with Good to Be Social, and it's a real honor to have him on the podcast to talk about the importance of relationships, the relationship law firms have with their clients, and how client interviews play a big role in that. Eric offers really deep insights and lots of great takeaways. Here is my conversation with Eric. Hi, Eric, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Tim. Good to be with you.
It's an honor to be with you. I should say right off the bat that during my tenure here at Good to Be Social, I've gotten to know Eric and some of his partners, including Yolanda at PP&C Consulting. And these folks are not just brilliant. They are caring individuals, and it's just been such an honor to get to know you. You were editor-in-chief of The American Lawyer for 16 years, and before that, you were a writer and editor at Newsweek for almost two decades. Can you tell us about your journey from those rather lofty positions to founding partner of the law firm advisory group PP&C Consulting?
Well, yes, my journey began as a law student. I was at NYU and didn't much care for it. NYU is a perfectly wonderful place, but I didn't much care for law school. Best thing about law school was that I met my wife there. The rest was not remotely as valuable for me. And I concluded that America did not need another mediocre lawyer. So I set out to do that which I had enjoyed while I was in college and in law school, working summers for a variety of publications, Newsday, Newsweek, and the Washington Post. And I decided to go off and be a journalist. I hoped at some point that I would get to write about the law, which I did when I finally got to Newsweek magazine. I was their justice writer for 9 years before I became an editor and supervisor. But my idea was I thought I could be better as a journalist than as a lawyer and make a better, more valuable contribution to our society that way. And also, honestly, I just enjoyed that work more. So I had a wonderful career as a journalist, very, very satisfying and interesting. And what I found myself at the end of my run at American Lawyer was what else could I do? And I had been a journalist during an era when there was lots of resources and ambition was encouraged, and things had changed, and it was time to do something different. So with some friends, we started a law firm consulting group because I had learned a good deal about law firms during my tenure at the American Lawyer, and thought that I could be of some service to them in an advisory capacity, and quickly discovered that my work doing client interviews was akin to my work as a journalist. Only now, since I was no longer in publishing, the people to whom I was speaking and interviewing were incredibly candid, delighted to have questions, and eager to open up. So it was a very happy combination of needs, both from the client community and my own.
You mentioned client interviews, and here at Good to Be Social, we hammer home client centricity. It's all about the client, and I know you're all about law firms talking to their clients via client interviews, client feedback. How important is client feedback to a law firm?
Well, I think it's critical, particularly in this climate, which is as competitive a climate as everyone says and anyone has seen. And since competitors are out there talking with their clients, some of whom are your clients, to speak directly to our law firm listeners, it seems like a mistake not to engage in that process as well. So part of it is defensive. But more importantly, in my experience over the last 3 years of doing this work, I have been convinced that for all the talk of change in the legal market, and there certainly have been significant changes and will continue to be, one constant has remained, and that is that this is a relationship business. And relationships are strengthened and deepened and made more healthy, in my experience, through better and richer communication. It's not that law firms and lawyers don't talk with their clients. Of course they do, in order to understand their assignments and provide ample and excellent service. It's that there's a need for people outside the relationship, heads of law firms, heads of departments, heads of marketing, and sometimes guys like me, out completely independent third parties, to go and talk with clients, important clients, about the health of the relationship, what the firm is doing well, what its competitors are doing better, what the needs of the client might be going forward.
This is a good time to clarify what we mean by client in this conversation. We're talking about big law and their corporate clients, which usually means in-house counsel, correct? Or is it broader than that?
For the most part, it means their clients are in-house counsel. I mean, there was a day, and there may still be in certain startup practice areas, where clients of big law can't afford sophisticated, substantial in-house lawyers or legal departments. But those days are ending, and all substantial clients just about have legal departments, often quite small. Frankly, there are some substantial clients with rather meager, in terms of headcount, law departments. But for the most part, to answer your question directly, when I'm talking about clients, I'm talking about in-house lawyers who make most of the hiring decisions.
So I know you've done a ton of interviews over the last, is it 3 years that you've been in practice or more?
And yes, 3 years.
3 years. And I wonder about some of the big lessons that you may have learned over those years in conducting those client interviews. But could you also give us some perspective of how involved you are, like maybe you and your partners are in the client feedback programs, and then talk about like some of the big lessons?
We create a individualized program for each client that we have. Some law firms retain us to go and sit with their key clients personally, face to face. Some want us to do the work by phone. Some do it as a mix of in-person and phone work. Some are interested in checkup calls. How are we doing? Where are you headed? Some are interested in more strategic programs where they want to know much more about what their competitors are doing and how they benchmark against them than anything else. Some of our clients are interested mostly in hearing about bad stuff. Others are mostly interested in hearing about good stuff. You know, it's very different if you're going to talk to your 10 fastest growing clients, or if you're going to talk to a firm's 20 biggest clients in the year 2010, none of whom have grown over the last 8 years, and most of whom have shrunk their business with you. Those interviews, very important, very eye-opening, but have a very different flavor than when you're going to talk with the 10 clients or 20 clients who've grown the fastest with you over the last 3 years.
I'd like to switch gears just a little bit now and look at what happens after you get the feedback. You know, in so many instances, and frankly, including marketing, like client journey feedback, buyer persona feedback, digging into analytics perhaps, some folks do a really good job at gathering the information, but a less than stellar job in implementing those changes based on that feedback. What processes, if any, have you seen at law firms that aid in using this rich data in a meaningful way?
It's more important than process, and process is very important, but more important than process, I would say, is attitude. And attitude starts from the top. The firm's leadership needs to be committed to using and acting on the information, whether it be it good or bad. It's nicer to act on good information where opportunities are coming your way, but even more important to act on bad information. And by bad, I mean critical information that is critical of your firm or your firm's performance. To wit, if a law firm client tells us that you've appointed a new relationship partner 9 months ago, you didn't ask us for our opinion in advance, you visited this person upon us, perfectly good lawyer, but the chemistry is bad, and we'd like you to find a way to fix that. Seems to me that the firm, whatever process it uses, needs to fix that, having been put on notice by the client. Equally, although happier, result is when the client asks, we've got a problem or a deal or a matter of some sort coming up in, you name the jurisdiction, Tokyo, Toledo, Timbuktu. Do your people have an office there? And the answer is yes. Well, then can you have someone call and talk to me about that? That sort of feedback is a nice big softball coming across the plate for a managing partner or chief marketing officer. But the question is, will they reach out and catch that ball or hit that ball, depending on how you want to complete that metaphor?
Sure.
Or will they disappoint the client by ignoring their wishes? If a client says, and this is much more typically the case, we really like the relationship partner, he or she just does wonderful work for us, is available to us, couldn't be more responsive, guarantees wonderful results, and then delivers, that's good news. And then when the client goes on to say, but you know, sometimes the relationship partner is really busy, and he or she has to pass the work off to a partner in another office or another practice group or what have you. And we don't feel as though we're getting the same level of attention or care. Seldom is it a skill problem. It's much more often an attention or caring problem. Well, armed with that knowledge, the firm needs to make good on that with the client, make it clear to the client that they hear, and we'll make sure that doesn't happen again. But secondly, needs to develop processes internally that strives for a uniform high level of service. Every law firm website I've seen talks about how client-centric the law firms are and how they're client-focused and devoted to client service. It's easy to say and hard to do. It requires a commitment and follow-up and checklists and targets and goals and holding people accountable, rewarding good behavior and chastising bad. That's the sort of blocking and tackling, to use the cliche I hear all the time, but in this case appropriate, that's the sort of blocking and tackling that can take a good relationship and make it a great relationship, or can preserve a great relationship. And absent that sort of detailed work, can take a very good relationship that has great potential and help ruin it.
You just listed a bunch of really good, valuable takeaways. Can technology play a role in the law firm client relationship and managing some of those tasks and relationship building activities that you just mentioned?
Yes, I think that clever use of technology that allows you to keep track of where you are, to automate a variety of alerts, to remind you and prompt you about phone calls, promises, whatever, that are hanging, absolutely technology can help. But technological tools are with us now and will only grow in importance in the future. And more than marketing or relationships, the great promise of technology that I hear talked about all the time, unfulfilled thus far, but the promise is that it will have substantive impact. It can take over some of the repetitive tasks that lawyers continue to do and might be well served to be free of. But in that climate where technology grows in importance, it is incumbent on law firms and individual lawyers to understand that technology is not a substitute and will never be a substitute, in my opinion, for the human relationship. When someone is in trouble or when someone has an important matter that they need, I think it is human nature, a fundamental part of the human condition, that they're looking for a skilled specialist, a trained, experienced professional to not only solve their problem, but to help soothe their anxieties, give them confidence that they will get through this matter, help guide them through a variety of difficult choices that they may have to make. Technology is not going to eliminate the need for the skilled, empathic human. It's going to accentuate that need. And lawyers with those skills will prosper and triumph. And lawyers without them, frankly, are going to have a harder time in the future than they already do.
That's a terrific way to wrap up this podcast episode. Eric, how can folks get in touch with you either via email or connect with you maybe on your website or on social media?
Oh, sure. I welcome contact on all those forms. We're multi-platform. Our website is ppncconsulting.com. My email is Eric, spelled unusually, A-R-I-C, at ppncconsulting.com. And I'm on Twitter at Eric Press, and welcome followers, although occasionally, more often than not, actually more than occasionally, my Twitter feed deals with my sports and political obsessions far more than my views about law firm clients, but take it as you will.
Yeah, you know what? And let me tell you, your Twitter feed is one of the things that drew me even closer to you. So, and made me appreciate having this conversation even more. Thank you so much, Eric, for being on the podcast. It was truly an honor for me.
You're welcome, Tim. Thank you very much for the invitation. I enjoyed the conversation.
If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast. And we'd love it if you also left a review for us on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Stitcher and SoundCloud and Google Play and wherever you listen to podcasts. Before you go, I want to ask you a question. Do you struggle with digital marketing and how to make it work for you and for your firm? If so, please go to lawfirmmarketinghelp.com and sign up for a free digital audit. The audit will provide you with all of the information you need to build a blueprint for your digital marketing strategy to produce the results you want. You'll find the show notes for this episode, along with all of the Legal Marketing 2.0 episodes, at goodtobesocial.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time.